Coming up this Saturday is the 5th annual Bay Area Arab Women's Conference, co-sponsored by the Arab Cultural and Community Center and the San Francisco Commission on the Status of Women. The conference is from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at Counterpulse, 1310 Mission Street, and it's only $25 for general admission or $15 for students. Lubna Khatami is the executive director of the Arab Cultural Center, and she joins me now by phone. Lubna, the theme of this year's conference is Bringing the Revolutions Home, which is obviously a reference to the revolutions that have been going on in the Arab world since last year. Tell us about some of the speakers and events that will be featured at this year's conference.
We have an amazing lineup this year. The morning, we're going to be having a live performance with the Aswat Women's Ensemble, who are going to be singing some of actually the most recent freedom songs coming out of the Arab world. There are the traditional folk songs of freedom and resistance, and of course there's the new ones that have sort of come out with the new uprisings happening in Egypt and across the Arab countries. Also, we have our keynote address is going to be given by Afrat Jalabi, who is a Syrian nonviolence activist and journalist, as well as Dr. Shireen Hafiz, who is an assistant professor of women's studies at UC Riverside. And so we're really excited to have both of them who are in the morning who are going to be talking about the revolutions inside of the Arab countries and sort of how we can position ourselves as diasporic Arab women and understanding our role for to advocate for freedom and justice in our own communities in the far diaspora. In the later afternoon, we're going to be having a panel on domestic violence. Actually, it's called The Revolution in the Home, and that one is about you know, how we can work as women in our community to challenge domestic violence and sexual assault through community responses, as you know, all members of our community who can play a role, a really important role in challenging both of those things in our communities. And then we're going to be closing off the day with an amazing panel called Art as Resistance, Art as Existence, with author Randa Jadad, who's the critically acclaimed author of A Map of Home, and actress, performer, and writer Cynthia Sophia is coming all the way from New York, and who was a live Broadway star. She's going to be performing a one-woman show called Everyone Has Tears.
And talk about the history of the Arab Women's Conference a little, why you feel it's so important to have a women's conference every year for and about Arab women, and how it's changed over the years.
Well, you know, when we started the Women's Conference 5 years ago, it was sort of, you know, a pilot program. We just thought, how can we have a space where we can really come together and talk about the different issues impacting Arab women in our local community, as well as really having a chance to celebrate the contributions and achievements of women in our community who are wearing a million different hats and, you know, always sort of sacrificing for the goodness of the greater causes that we're all a part of. This conference has never been limited to the audience being Arab women. Men are more than welcome and invited, encouraged to attend, as well as non-Arabs, because we really believe that having a space in which we can talk about the challenges that Arab women are facing, as well as having a chance to celebrate our accomplishments, our contributions, is really important to empower women, to empower younger generations of women in our community, and really having a comprehensive historical context and understanding the challenges we faced as a community and how to work together in a collective way in fostering and cultivating stronger senses of community empowerment. The types of topics that we've covered throughout the years have really ranged. I mean, from health and nutrition, breast cancer awareness, domestic violence and sexual assault, to panels on Arab women in male-dominated professional fields, Arab women in the media, to covering, you know, the transnational identities and experiences of Arab women living under occupation in Palestine or Lebanon or Iraq, you know, bringing it back here to talking about Arab women's activism against, you know, the injustices that we're facing internally within Arab communities, as well as sort of by the larger state brutality and state repression that we're facing. Last year's Arab Women's Conference, our keynote speakers were Leila Al-Aryan and Noor Al-Lashi, who, you know, the title of their talk was called A Daughter's Struggle for Justice, which was talking about their fathers, who are both political prisoners in the United States and who have been faced with unconstitutional charges for conspiracy for terrorism and material support. And so really talking about how all these injustices impact our communities and how women in our communities have become, in many cases, the advocates of our families, the breadwinners of our families, and also those who are sort of the staple and backbone towards the community organizing against the various forms of injustice that our communities are facing in the larger sense.
And do you run into any resistance from within Arab communities, from people who think that perhaps focusing on women's issues is somehow divisive, especially in this time when Arab and Muslim communities in the U.S. are under so much attack?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is always a really sensitive question for any community of color when it comes to women's issues, gender issues, sexuality issues. Part of the reason why it's always so sensitive is because we tend to think about the different forms of injustice that we face in sort of these compartmentalized boxes, right? So is it, you know, sexism within our community, or is it sexism from U.S.-based mainstream media sources on how they're depicting Arab women? And so really what the ACC feels really passionate and strong about, and a lot of this comes from our day-to-day work working with our women's program, in which we have an ESL class and life skills classes, exercise and nutrition classes, and day-to-day case management for domestic victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, is that we really want to look at the injustice and the oppression and the violence that our communities are facing within an intersectional lens. And so we know that that's not just about sexism isolated from racism, from classism, from state repression, from police brutality. And so really by trying to foster a way in which we can talk about all the forms of injustices and all the contradictions about oppression and resistance within our community, we're finding a way to really engage men in our community to say, okay, well, men in our community too have a right and a responsibility to be challenging those forms of patriarchy or sexism within our community, and that it is for the greater good of our community's health, of our community's empowerment, and our well-being. And it's not just about our community, but rather about really situating ourselves within the broader scope of repression and injustice, and allying ourselves with all communities who are marginalized and disenfranchised or are facing very similar, you know, systemic forms of repression.
With the Arab Spring, there was so much material all of a sudden. You know, Arab people and Arab women were on every TV station and every blog and in every newspaper. And a lot of the coverage that I saw was a bit fetishistic around women. And, oh, look, Arab women are coming out of their houses. Oh, look, Arab women can actually speak on television. Oh, look, there are actually Arab journalists, Arab women journalists. And, you know, I wonder how that's impacted the work that you do, and how you sort of filtered through all of that to decide what to focus this year's conference on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is definitely not new to our community, as well as to most communities of color. I mean, there's always sort of been the fine line between, you know, women in our communities are either constructed as the hyper-exotic, very sort of romanticized, fetishized depiction of Arab women, or the completely invisible, the woman that has no voice and that has no role in her own society or family. And so this is something that is not new to us, nor was it surprising that Arab women were depicted in that way, that all of a sudden, you know, that these revolutions sort of broke the barriers of women being able to participate in civic life or in resistance or in social justice work. You know, Arab women for decades have been instrumental and the staple towards the backbone of community organizing and of social justice work inside of the Arab countries and even in our local community. And so, you know, our conference is really aiming to sort of examine more of the complexities as to why there are these simplified depictions of women in our communities. There are simplified depictions of the revolutions, generally speaking. So the Women's Conference for us is a chance for us to really look at all of the complexities associated with the Arab revolutions, the role of women, the way that women were depicted and what these revolutions mean for our future inside of our homelands and for our future as diasporic women outside of our homelands. What is our role in sort of reshaping and reconstructing the kind of world that we see for ourselves and the kind of world that really ensures and reinforces freedom and justice for all of our communities? And so having those conversations about the complexities is really important so that we can examine it in a way that is not sort of surface or motivated by ulterior interest of, you know, where the power is going to be shifted to in the middle of this sort of power vacuum inside of the Arab countries. There's a lot of talk about different interests inside of the Arab countries right now on at the horizon, you know, because of the revolutions. And I think that, you know, in our case, as women who are committed to justice and freedom in all of our communities, you know, we really want to motivate women in our community to really understand the complexities behind understanding our role.
Is it mainly an educational event, or is there an organizing component? Is there anything that you expect to come out of it in terms of action?
A lot of sort of the work that has sort of followed up after the previous women's conferences that we had had was a lot of participants of the women's conference became engaged with us as volunteers or even, you know, later on as staff members at the ACC and working with us to in our violence prevention program, working with us in our women's programming. I mean, just 5 years ago when we became more visible with our domestic violence program, there was a lot of pushback and resistance from our community. And now we have so many members of the community who are really supportive of the program, men in our community who want to volunteer and who want to become domestic violence advocates. And so this is the sort of work that we see for ourselves, building sort of a consciousness, building an awareness, offering these spaces for women in our community to discuss the most important issues in their lives and to really be a community center that's listening to the people in our community and listening to what it is that they need and want and trying to reconstruct and think about our programming to address those needs.
And you mentioned the transnational aspect of the work that you do. Can you talk more about that work and give some examples of what kinds of transnational work you're doing?
Well, the ACC is cultural and social services organization. We know that our community has very, very strong ties to their homeland, whether it's culturally, whether it's by having family members there, by traveling back home every year, or whether it's a really strong emotional connection because of the tumultuous and devastating conditions of what's happening in our homeland. We believe that it's important when we're working with clients in our social services programs not to pretend that we know nothing about the countries in which our clients are coming from. A perfect example would be that we have been working with a group of Iraqi refugee women for a couple of years. We've worked with many women who have come here through human trafficking or who were here as domestic servants in households who were brought at very, very young ages. And so the historical context of how and why our communities have immigrated to San Francisco and what is it that is happening in their homeland, whether it's occupation or whatever it is that is sort of contributing to the sort of feeling of loss of home, loss of family, loss of sort of stability. That's really important for us to take into account so that we can really provide the most efficient and the most relevant services to our community.
I've been speaking with Lubna Khatami, who is the director of the Arab Cultural and Community Center in the Bay Area, and we have been talking about the 5th Annual Bay Area Arab Women's Conference coming up this weekend, March 17th, at Counterpulse Theater from 10 to 5:30. We will have information on our website about how you can register for that conference and a link to your website, which is
www.arabculturalcenter.org.
Lubna, thanks so much and best luck with your conference. I think it's really exciting and I hope a lot of our listeners will get a chance to come and check it out.
Thank you very much. All are welcome.